So, we're back. Yoga on Tay with the home practice sheet. Now we're on to level two, so sequence one. And I would say, if you've got a period, leave this sequence for another day. We're going to start, however, with Adho Mukha Virasana. So a nice and simple start, sitting back on your heels with the toes touching and the knees apart. So you're sitting up with the toes touching and the knees apart, and you're going to place the hands just in front of the knees. You're going to press down into the hands and let the weight of the buttocks come into the heels more. Then you're going to take the heel of the left hand forward so it's level with the fingers of the right hand and step the right hand to align with the left. Press down with the hands. So you feel again that you can lift the chest, get a bit taller in the spine, but make sure the weight stays of the buttocks onto the heels or the block or blanket that you might be sitting on. So the right hand, it's now going to go forward, the heel of the right hand, level with the left fingertips, align both hands, press down, keep the buttocks down as you press with the hands. So it's actually quite an interactive way to come into Adho Mukha Virasana. So we'll lead with the left hand, if you've still got length, if you've still got space, to come forwards. You should just find the side ribs really nicely supported, snugly on the inner thighs. Pressing down with the hands gives a real sense of action in the shoulder joints, shoulder blades. And keeping the buttocks on the heels keeps a nice length in the lower back. You arrive in pose one, Adho Mukha Virasana, and you then need to stay for a few breaths. So I've suggested 5 or 6 cycles of breath, but you know, you'll find a natural time that works for you when you're practicing on your own as well. So now walk the hands back and sit up, bring your knees together and take your feet apart until the feet, the heels, are just outside the hips. So you'll be familiar with this one from class and know whether or not you need some height in there to support the buttocks, because I still want the buttocks down heavily like in the last pose. So Virasana is hero pose. And we'll just sit here for a minute, keeping that weight in the buttocks. Take your thumbs, if you can, onto the heels and the fingers back onto the ball of the foot. And if you can't reach, then you would use bricks to achieve a similar effect. So you could put bricks on the feet and press down with the hands. So you start to feel the chest coming in front of the upper arms. Then what we'll do is we'll add in the shoulder stretch of Parvatasana or Urdhva Buddhyanguliasana. So interlock your fingers, stretch your hands away, and look at this point to see you have the thumbs in line with the fingers. So not in front, not behind, all stacked up. Keep them there as you stretch the arms up. So like Adho Mukha Virasana, elbows tight, weight down in the buttocks. Looking forwards, feeling length coming more and more as you stay in the sides of the trunk. And keep that length, that lift in the sides of your chest as you bring the arms forward. Turn the palms in and slot the fingers the other way. Parvatasana with the fingers just slightly offset in the other direction. Elbows tight. Weight in the buttocks. Still breathing. Eyes forward. Let the weight of the upper arms come down into the shoulder joints. Move the upper arms back slightly more. And then bring the arms down all together. So So if you measure up in the pose we started in, so you're just going to again touch the toes, take the knees apart, sit back on the heels, and stretch the arms forward. Press down with the hands as you come up onto the knees. Separate the feet as you tuck the toes under. So hands are shoulder width, feet can also be shoulder width. And then lift the knees up. So this is to help you recover the legs after that kneeling. It was quite a while to be in Virasana. So you make sure the hips are high, so the knees are tight. Press with the hands. Make sure there's a firmness in those elbows. Now if you're practiced and want to stay for longer, stay. If you need a rest, come down back to Adho Mukha Virasana. And then come up again. Really stretch the sides of the body so you feel the spine stretching. You know, if you see a dog doing this, it puts tremendous energy into the pose. And then everyone rest down. Right, we're on our feet now. Tadasana. So you'll notice that I've put pictures 5 and 6 together in the yoga font. And that's because I can't find Gomukhasana standing. But I think it's best to do it standing now that you are on your feet. So no problems with the back, feet together. Slightly bend the knees so you can get maximum contact of your inner legs. And then keep that contact as much as you can as you straighten the legs. Tadasana, press into the heels. Again, bring the chest forward and the upper arms back, but without arching your back. So have an idea that the buttock bones could grow all the way down to your heels. Yeah, in that line. Interesting image. Okay, so whilst you're there, you're going to stretch the right arm up into Urdhva Hastasana and bend at the elbow, and then you'll stretch the left arm back, make the left arm palm, so just stretch it directly back and palm facing the wall behind you and bend that elbow so the two hands come towards each other. So hopefully you picked up a belt seeing this was coming, and if not, now's your chance. Look forwards, buttocks facing the floor, heels pressing the floor, and then release. So to go to the other side, stretch the left arm up, Urdhva Hastasana. So we've done a preliminary for this. Bend at the elbow. Take that left hand down towards first the right shoulder blade, then the spine, and if you can, towards its own shoulder blade. The right arm from Tadasana, just stretch directly back. Turn the palm to the wall behind you so you feel the shoulder open more, and then bend the elbow, sliding the back of the hand up your back, aiming to reach the belt or fingertips of the right hand. Stand strong, stand straight, look forwards, release. So we're going to do Trikonasana, and I thought I really want to work on this pressing of the hands today. So have a brick to each side of your mat, if you've got a brick, or a chair if you need that extra height. And have them at the back of your mat so you don't jump onto them. Same as you would in class. Still think about the health and safety of yoga at home. So from Tadasana, on an inhalation jump to Urdhva Hastapadasana. So that's when the toes point forward. You should have stretched your legs quite wide so wrists are over ankles. Then you're going to turn the right foot out and then the left toes in. So you still have heel in line with instep. And then you're going to stretch out over that right leg, pull in the brick behind the right ankle, and press with the whole of your hand. So as if it was a floor, you can lift those right fingers, to press with the hand. It's like you're pushing the brick into the ground. Now push the left heel into the ground. Stretch the left hand up to the ceiling and keep pressing that left heel into the floor to come up. Trikonasana. Feet to the front. Sorting out your bricks. Yeah, you're here, I've got an audience today, so there's a wee brick dropping over. Right, so left foot out, right toes in. I asked for it that way in particular so that we can have connection with this back heel. So from there, from your Parsvahasta Padasana, extend over the left leg. Look where you're going as you come down. See the stretch out, the direction, and stay over that left leg as you pull in the brick. Press on the brick. Lift the fingers. We're all tempted to hold these bricks. I want you to push it in. It's like a pneumatic drill. Pushing in. And then get the same power into your right heel. Stretching up with the right arm. Couple of breaths in the pose. And the more you stretch into the right hand, you'll come up nice and light. Feet back to the front. Jump back together. Tadasana. So just make sure your mat is now free of bricks, because we'll be doing Virabhadrasana 2 next. I don't want you landing on the bricks. You all know the story about the teacher of mine that tripped over a brick and broke her ankle, so I'm crazy about it in class, and I want you to be crazy about it while you're practicing at home. So, Tadasana. Much wider stance this time. Virabhadrasana 2. Step or jump, as you need to. I'm going to ask you to turn the right foot out first for Parsvahasta Padasana, and then the left toes in, because this is a little bit, you know, it's level 2, so I'm looking for more work in the left hip and groin. Now, bending the right knee, keep the trunk upright. Warrior 2. Just check that the left hand is over, wrist is over the ankle. Look over the right hand. And have a sense that you have to counter-rotate the chest, face forward. So the chest is going from right to left. As you are looking right. And then inhale, straightening the right leg. Up you come. Feet forwards. If you need a wee break, hands on the hips, while you arrange the feet for the left side. So left foot out. Right toes in. We extend the arms, and on an exhalation, make a square with that left knee. So yes, we call it sitting down in the pose. Now it's always further than you think, especially if you've practiced this on a chair. Now check the right wrist is as much over the right ankle as you can, and that already starts to counter-rotate the chest, doesn't it, from left to right. Keep the chest forward as you look over the left hand. Reach to the right. Be there. Couple of breaths. And then inhale, straighten the left leg. Up you come. Feet to the front. Jump back together. So my idea for Virabhadrasana 1 involves having the arms wide. So make sure that you've got space to turn with the arms extended out to the side before we do the next pose. So you can hear that's now required some furniture arrangements at this end. So you can grab the opportunity, or if you need to go further, pause the audio. Okay, so Virabhadrasana 2 once again. So come to your pose. Tadasana, legs wide, square with the right knee. So the arms are stretched out at shoulder height. Now you're going to revolve, keep the arms there, and turn towards the right leg. So it's Vimanasana first. That's it. And then from Vimanasana, roll the shoulders back, elbows up to the ceiling, palms up to the ceiling. And then take the arms up from the sides. So it's a slightly different way of doing it. Really lift up the body out the trunk like we did in Parvatasana. Straighten your right leg, up you come. Hands on the hips, feet back to the front. So if you are bending deeply and keeping the back leg really strong, this is a strenuous pose. So let's turn now to the left side. Left foot out, right toes in. Stretch the arms out so the ankles are under the wrists. Bend the left knee like Virabhadrasana 2. And now keep the arms at chest level, shoulder height, and turn to face the left leg. So from here, you're going to work from the shoulders, elbows, wrists. It's like a break dance to your fingertips. Palms will turn to the ceiling. And then take the arms up from there and really lift yourself out of the pelvis. Sink down with the hips, but lift up with the arms. So it's a strong pose. Just take it as long as you can. And the stronger the back leg, pressing into that heel, the better for the back. Up you come. Feet back to the front. Jump back together. Tadasana. So this is when you learn to love Tadasana. You know, if you do the warrior poses a little bit more strongly than perhaps you would on your own. And Tadasana, you can find a nice, quiet, steady place to be. A little bit of Shavasana in your Tadasana so that you can find it in the next pose. Because of course, the next pose is Virabhadrasana 3. So you need a little bit more space because you travel along the mat as well. And we'll be going to the right side first. And we're going to do it as we've gone so far. So Virabhadrasana 2, jump wide. Arrange the feet. Bend the right knee. And then revolve the whole chest. So you've come towards Virabhadrasana 1, arms up through the breakdance action, and then bend forward, stretch forward really, to chest to knee, and then lift up with the back leg. So you're stretching strenuously with the fingers forward, the back heel back, you find your balance, and then you go back down, Virabhadrasana 1, stabilize there. And again, Virabhadrasana 3. That's the surprise this time. You get to do Virabhadrasana 3 twice on each side. Because the balance, the more you press into that standing heel, will come. And back you go. Virabhadrasana 1, touch and go. Virabhadrasana 2, touch and go. Back to Tadasana, and we'll recover between sides. This also gives you the opportunity to make sure you've got space to go to the left side. So with each exhalation, stretch the buttocks to the heels. Reach into the rim of the heels. With each inhalation, reach up with the crown of the head. So that when we do this to the left side, you go with the same starting place, same energy, same determination, same focus. Right, Virabhadrasana 2. Wide jump, turning off to the left, bending the left leg. Now, revolve to face the left leg. So still the arms are wide and roll the shoulders back, elbows up as before, Virabhadrasana 1. Recharge the leg behind you so that when you bring the chest towards the left knee, it's already strong, it's light, it's wanting to lift. Virabhadrasana 3. Find the balance. Touch and go. Come back to Virabhadrasana 1. This is your resting pose. And then Virabhadrasana 3 once again. So keep the hips low, take the chest low, and lift that leg up behind you and really stretch into the arms in front. It's tremendous. It's like being on a medieval rack, strength of stretch. And back you come, Virabhadrasana 1.
Virabhadrasana 2, Tadasana. I wasn't even meaning to be funny, I just got mumbled on my words. Okay, so Uttita Padangusthasana 1, which should be Uttita Hasta Padangusthasana 1, I suppose. So find something the right height for you. Will it be a chair seat, a chair back? Have you got a window ledge, a table? Something that works for you, and then stand in front of that in Tadasana. Have a belt handy, because you're most likely to need it. And have the belt over your shoulders, because to start with, I'd like your hands on your hips. I'd like you to place the left leg up on the support. And feel that the hips are balanced in the vertical plane, so that you don't have one hip higher than the other. So the left will be likely to go high. So find the right height, you can balance the hips. And then make sure the hips are also in the correct plane to face the wall, chair, whatever you're using in front of you, so you're not twisting. And then slightly bend the standing leg, like we did in Tadasana at the beginning. And really press into that heel. And this just takes some of the strain off that hamstring, so that when you straighten again, it should be a little bit easier. Pushing down with the hands on the frontal hip bones, so that you can really lift the torso out the pelvis, and then maintain that as you connect the hands to the feet, most likely with a belt. So if you might lose some of that chest lift, that spinal lift, but bring it back once the belt's in place. And feel the hips are still level. And make sure the throat is soft, broad. And then come back to Tadasana. So we're using this as a quietening, settling pose after the balance, because the next pose is also a balance. Okay, UHP 1, right leg up. Start with the hands on the hips. Align the pelvis as we just did. Slightly bend the standing knee, that's the left knee this time. That helps the pelvis to come more into line with the floor, so horizontally and vertically. Straightening the standing leg by connecting to the heel. Feel the buttock of the left leg connecting to the left heel. Slight pressure down on the hips with the hands so the spine can lift. So that when you take the belt round the foot, you can find that lift back. So it truly is Tadasana with a leg in front. Okay, there's a little bit of balance and extra stretch, but just feel that the stronger you can make the legs, the more you can lift the spine. The more the spine lifts, the easier the breathing, the quieter the pose. So your next pose will be Tadasana, actually, come out of that. But on the sheet, it's Shirshasana. So if you don't do Shirshasana and want to follow the rest of the sequence, I'm going to suggest you do Prasarit Padottanasana. So that's legs wide and either hands under the shoulders or head on blocks. It's in the previous sheets, so you can easily pick it up. Those who do Shirshasana, you go into it as you've been shown in class, so you can practice safely. The good news is I won't be holding you for 5 minutes, but we will be there for 2 or 3 minutes for sure. So come up in when you can, and in those 2 or 3 minutes, if there's any strain, any heaviness, then of course do what you do in class. You come down. You take a little break. And my suggestion is if you come down to do Uttanasana. So you immediately straighten the legs, but you keep the head down, because keeping the legs active is very helpful in Shirshasana. Because the more you can squeeze those legs together and stretch your heels up, it lifts the whole, it finds that length back in the spine that you've just been practicing. Make sure you breathe well, so every now and again exhale a little bit more deeply. Feel what happens. As you start to find your balance and the ability to stay, allow your mind to come into the forearms. It's easy to feel the weight in the elbow. Try to press a bit more with the middle of the forearm bone. And then the wrists of the forearm. So the stronger you can press with the base of the pose, it will help you to suck those shoulder blades in. Bring more quietness. Even if it's only briefly, that quietness. Quietness, steadiness, they come together. So if we're going to do 3 minutes, there's still a minute to go if you want to try again. If you've had enough, as I say, wait in Uttanasana or move into the Prasaripadottanasana that others are doing. So we're all doing a head down position, but strong legs. Breathing smoothly, fully, so there's no strain. There's a good clue to keeping the calmness when you're in Shirshasana. Head balance is to take the gaze of the eyes. If you imagine me walking around your room teaching, it's about navel level. So you find something that, like the back of a chair or a table, that's the right sort of height to just zone the focus of your eyes and have it on something steady. Oh, your 3 minutes is gone. How good was that? So everyone, Uttanasana. You can do it with the feet together or the feet apart. Just release the backs. Keep the calm. And prepare your psyche for the next pose. Some of you love it. You'll flop straight into it, no problem at all. Others will have to construct something for Supta Virasana. So Virasana we've already done. So you know how much you need to sit on. Now if you don't have the props to go back, don't worry, just do what we do sometimes in class, use your hands. Because actually I want your hips to be light in this pose anyway. The main thing we're doing it for is to warm up the spine. Keep that stretch on the sides of the trunk. So I'm giving you a wee moment to gather what you need. Of course, you can pause because you've got an audio. So now you're in Virasana. Whatever you might need behind you may be there. And whether or not there's something behind you, just take the hands behind and slightly apart. And just for a moment, lift up your hips. Get a lightness in the hips so you feel the weight in your shins. Press into the shins. Keep the knees down. And then you can start to work your way back to Supta Virasana. So it may be you lie down, it may be you don't. It may be your knees lift up on the way. But once you get to your supports, if you lighten the hips, you'll find that you can reach forward with the knees and the shins can start to press to the floor more. Sometimes we do find that the knees float. And if that's happening to you today, you might want to just come and pop a rolled blanket or spare brick or block just under the knees so that you can quieten your quads a little bit. We're not going to be there much longer. Those who've been a while might like to try different arm positions if you haven't already. So a Shavasana arm position, an arms out to the side at shoulder height position, or indeed an arms overhead position. All are fine. As long as there's no strain, no pain. I think I said that in the little box at the beginning. Any pain, skip to next pose. And let's not stay too long to get pain. Let's come up. And you can go straight to a dog pose. Just as smoothly a transition as you can make to dog pose so that you can relieve your knees, relieve your backs. Then you're going to come down. It does say do it twice, so we're going to come down and clear the mats. Now you're going to lie on your front and have the hands under the shoulders and tuck your toes under, feet hip width. And try to keep the legs straight, so knees tight, and just push yourself straight back up into dog pose. Although, if you need to be on the knees, you need to be on the knees. But try and go so you can strengthen these arms and shoulders a bit. So now don't move your hands and feet, because you've measured for that already. The position is good. Press into the hands and reach the heels back and down, as if you wanted to press into your heels as well. So the heel of the hand, the heel of the foot, pressing, reaching. And if it's going well, you could lift your fingertips and your toe tips. And now come down onto your fronts. Chaturanga Dandasana. Rest your forehead. Keep your hands at the sides of the trunk, but bring them back slightly. So really reach the heels back while the toes are tucked under. So the knees are tight, the knees are lifted. And you should feel the tailbone engaging towards the floor. And then from here, you're going to come and just hover parallel to the floor, Chaturanga. So you lift the chest, you lift the hips, you take a couple of breaths. You really have to charge the legs. This is why you do the standings, isn't it? And down you come. So in those Virabhadrasana 2 and Virabhadrasana 1, I said you had to really charge the leg. Now you have to do both legs. So if this pose is tricky for you, do it this time from dog pose. Otherwise, once more, from the floor. Charge the legs, engage the tailbone, and push with the hands just to hover. So the shoulders open. Chest in front of the arms, definitely breathing, and release. So when you're resting, you can have the toes pointing inwards, the heels dropping out. You can be on the forehead, forearms even, fists. Just give the spinal muscles time just to release without completely going for restorative work. So your next pose, 16, Salabhasana. So you're going to be lying on your front with the hands first under the shoulders and then stretch them back so the palms go to the ceiling. That's it. And the nails on the floor, the toenails also on the floor. Now for the first time, best do with the legs apart. Just see how it's coming today. And then you're going to stretch the arms and legs back simultaneously and balance on the belly. Look forwards and definitely breathe 2 or 3 breaths, 5 or 6 breaths if it's coming well. And then resting back in the position that we started. So you have a moment or two to recover yourself. It reminds the body how it feels to be in Salabasan. And then we'll do it once more. So if it came really well, no problems with the lift or the breath or the back, then do it with the feet together. Otherwise, feet stay apart. So this time, make sure that the shoulders really lift, because I know a lot of you, they tend to forget to lift the shoulders in this position. So that the upper arms are way higher than the sides of the chest. And then stretch the toes back, lift the legs, lift the eyes, Salabhasana, locust pose, on the belly, and release. Recover breathing in to the lower back. You know, I love that instruction. That's why I nearly always give it. Because if I take my attention to the lower back and the buttocks and say, okay, skin, okay, muscles, you have to spread away from the spine. And just by giving them that moment of attention, they release more. So, Urdhva Mukha Svanasana, the next dog pose. Now, they do it energetically, if you're ever watching a dog doing this. So, the hands will be even slightly further back now, closer to the waist. And you're going to press with the hands to stretch your trunk up. So, first time, again, feet apart. And you can either have the toes tucked under or be on the tops of the feet. Take a good breath in, and as you exhale, straighten the arms. Push up so that the chest comes in front of the upper arms, the shoulders come back. Chest comes in front of the upper arms, yeah. I'm getting a quizzical look here. And then back down you come. They look so easy, and there's very easy ways of doing these poses. And then there's the slightly, you know, you take it up a level, becomes a bit more demanding, a bit more interesting, I think is the word I would use. And always wanting to learn more. Okay, I have not forgotten, you have to do it again. So once more, if it came well, then be on the tops of the feet with the feet together, maybe be with the toes under and the feet together, or just do it with the feet apart. Charge the legs, because they have to lift. Charge the hands so you can get the lift in your spine, and come up on an exhalation this time. So you have to inhale when you arrive and really bring the chest in front of the arms. Just look forwards, keep the throat soft. Let the tailbone be really heavy, descending, descending, but legs tight, and then back down and rest. So it's not an easy little sequence. This is the phase of the work. Is so good for your spine. This strengthens your spine, all this kind of work. So one to go. And this time you stay on your belly and you just reach back and catch your ankles. And then you kick back and lift up. So you're going to do it touch and go a couple of times. Dhanurasana. So I've given you time now to catch. Some of you need belts, some of you need bolsters. And you catch the feet, you take the toes back, keep the tailbone engaged, and as the feet go back, there's a slight kick back, it straightens your arms, it lifts the chest, and down you go. Take a couple of breaths, recover. Of course, the keen ones will have done it and held it longer, done it five times, that's okay. Touch and go. If you like to prepare yourself a bit more, catch the other foot this time, then the second one, engage the tailbone, start to move the feet back so the shoulders open, and then really kick the feet back so you get lift, so you're really on the belly, looking forwards, and then release. Come straight into dog down. I would advise taking the hands and feet to the edges of the mat so you're wide. And you work the arms and legs well so that the back can release. So the more you press with the hands, Squeeze the upper arms towards the center. Squeeze the outer thighs to the center. Make sure your hips are high. A lot of people are keen to take the heel down, and that would be kind of foolish, really, when you've just done back bends. What you're using this pose for is to relieve and release the back. So hips high. And if you're on your tiptoes to feel the release in your back, so be it. Sometimes, actually, you can be on the elbows, and that releases the back more. It's easier to feel the hips are high. So that's a nice wee variation. And then next, you'll need your chair. Next is Dwaipada of Viparita Dandasana. And again, the yoga fonts, you know, I've had these yoga fonts for, I don't know, years, you know, since computers started, just about. And he has made more available, but I haven't found one to have the legs parallel to the floor. Because I don't really want you doing another back bend. What we're doing this for is to stretch out your spine, but keep the chest open. So if we were doing this in class, you'd have the back of the chair facing the wall, and you'd sit on the back edge of the seat, and have your feet on the wall, or on the pile of bricks, or on a second chair even, at the wall. And you'd start in Dandasana to get the right distance. So, hopefully the words are a little reminder of the faff we have to do this. But if you do get the props just right, then it's very nice just to lie, the legs strong and straight, the spine long and free, and just that little opening for your upper back, your upper chest. So the tips of your shoulder blades stay on the chair. Now if you don't have a suitable chair, you can put two together, tie them together. You could lie on a bed with the knees bent up, just to have that nice opening in the chest and spine releasing. And if you don't have a chair, we've still got plenty we can sell you, actually. Currently, in the COVID lockdown. Arm position. Many people prefer to hold the chair. That's fine. But you go between pushing with the hands on the uprests of the chair and pulling. So that you activate different muscles in the upper back. If your neck is unhappy, you would know that before you started. If you're one of those people whose bodies react in this way, then support the head. But if it's unusual and you weren't prepared, clasp the hands behind the neck and slide them to the back of the skull and just pull slightly. This can help too. And if you're quite happy with the hands under the chair, of course, that's also an option. And then we're going to place the feet back on the floor and come up. And most recently, since we had a visit in February from Ali Dashti, he's very keen that we cup the palms over the eyes. So you can take your elbows on the back of the chair and just make a real dark, still, quiet space for the eyes. And find this has a calming effect on the brain. It's a soothing effect on the nervous system. Or quite simply, it just feels nice. Give your back time to recover. And then we can go on to Paripurnavasana. That is the full boat pose. And since this is our first level 2 sequence, I think we should just do it first time through legs bent. So clear your mats. Sit on your bottom. Have the knees bent up. Feet on the floor. Take the hands behind the knees. Pull slightly on the hands so the shoulders go back, the chest's more open. Find the balancing point on your buttocks. So I would normally say come onto your tiptoes at that point. And then lift the feet up. In fact, bring the toes up to the eye level. And you can keep pulling on the legs to keep the spine lifting out the pelvis, chest open. And if that's enough for you, go back down. If you're already wanting to stretch out your legs, then do. Stretch out your arms at the same time. And then everyone release. Paripurnavasana. Such a nice pose. Okay, give it everything. So this time from Dandasana, legs straight. Lift up with the spine, lift up with the arms, Urdhvahastasana. And on an exhalation, go back onto that balancing point on your buttocks and stretch the arms forward, legs up, and get the same lift in your spine and your chest. And I hope you are breathing. I can't hear. I'm too far away. And release. Okay. Shoulder balance. So again, we've got it in red. This is an insurance disclaimer, you realise. But also, I'd want you to not be injured through any practice of yoga. Not even a little pain. So only practice this if you've been taught how to practice shoulder balance safely. If you don't have the kit to make a shoulder pad, don't do it. It's not worth it. Just take your legs up the wall. Do Viparita Karani instead. Do Setu Bandha, bridge pose. For those who do have the props, hopefully you're sorted now. And of course, if you did the 3-minute head balance, I expect you will be doing shoulder balance. And I will help you with the time from now. So you can always pause your audios if you're not quite ready. And we're going to come to Salamba Sarvangasana. Salamba means supported. That's the purpose of the arms, the hands lifting the spine. And it's like Tadasana on your shoulders. So you're looking to stand tall. You're on your shoulders, but you're standing tall. Mountain pose on the shoulders, steady pose. And the way to seek that is to come to the center, centralization. So slightly bending the knees so you get that full connection of the legs. And keeping that full connection of the legs as you stretch the heels up. Make sure again there's a direct vertical line of connection between buttock bones and heels. So if this poses a strain for you, maybe you've got not enough height, or you've maybe over-tightened your belt, come down and adjust. Come and get the benefits of shoulder balance. Find the stillness and quietness in the body, in the breath, in the mind. Let more weight come into the upper arms. So the head should be light, like Shavasana. Press the shoulders down. Press the middle of the upper arm down. Press the elbows down. So you're standing from this sort of tripod of support. And it's just a matter of fact that gravity wins some of the time, and we have to reset the hands and relift the back. So every so often you do that, but you don't have to do it constantly because you want some of the quietness. Take the eyes now to look into the chest. You might like to think of it as looking at the heart center. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I like to take the left eye to look into the left lung and the right eye to look into the right lung. And then there was the nasty timer, just when you were beginning to enjoy yourself. So you can come down now into Halasana, with or without a chair. Take the strap off your elbows. I do hope most of you used one. Keep it on your hands. And turn your palms up to the ceiling. So the strap is usually easier if you catch it between the thumb and index finger. It's just a way I'm trying to keep you to work these upper arms down. So reach the belt back and down. Lifting the spine as best you can. Release the strap. Let the back round. And support the back at to roll down. Once you recover from your shoulder balance, or the Viparita Karani or Setu Bandha, if you took those options, Shavasana. So Shavasana, take what you feel is going to work for you today. You, we know we all do different Shavasanas, and sometimes I like everyone to do the same thing. But this is not realistic. So apply your intuition. Are you going to be flat? Are you going to have a head raise or a neck roll? Are you going to take the legs over a chair? Let's just make sure it's a position that you can release and relax. And if you do have a spare yoga blanket or a slightly heavier cushion, then we learned a nice trick the other night for helping backs to recover in Shavasana, and we had a triple folded yoga cotton blanket placed over our lower bellies, and it was so nice. So you come to your Shavasana, but remember it's Tadasana on the ground, so you stretch out both legs. And you just, once you've stretched them, slightly bend again, just slightly bend, squeeze them together. And again, stretch the heels out, really feel them pushing on the mat. And while the legs are there, make sure that you bring the shoulders down so that the upper arm is moving lower than the side of the chest, the side of the chest lifting from the upper arm level, and then let loose with the limbs. Let loose with the arms, the legs, and let the mind free to be in the pose with awareness as a passenger, yeah, you're not driving the poses now, the mind is just watching, looking out the window, seeing that the knees are relaxed, that the feet are in Shavasana, that the buttocks are in Shavasana. The view out the window is Shavasana everywhere. Shavasana is stillness, space, quietness. Shavasana has a vast sensation inside. That's the amazing thing about it. Breath settles into a Shavasana rate.
Any tension around the face starts to evaporate. So you feel the skin of the face attracted by gravity to the floor, to the ground, in the way that our bodies were attracted to come down in Sarvangasana, particularly shoulder balance, head balance. In Shavasana, you can allow this to happen. So as if the skin smooths out from the nose, centre of the forehead, down to the temples and ears. So you feel you're balancing just on a tiny spot at the back of the skull. Now you might want a bit longer in your Shavasana. I'm sure the recording just finds its own way to stop. But if you are, or when you are ready to come out, roll the legs towards each other. Roll the hands towards the body, bringing them onto the body. And if you've got that blanket of weight on your belly, just find somewhere you can comfortably, easily place the hands or remove it. Come onto the right side, because that's what we traditionally do. Support the head. Open the eyes. And let some of the nice, quiet, yet energized feeling from your practice stay with you until we meet again. Namaskar.